Looking at the need in this hour to fortify ourselves with the Word of God as we're coming into these last days. We've been talking about iniquity abounding and the love of many waxing cold, and how important it's going to be to make sure that our lives are established on the foundation of God's Word. We saw that the Scripture speaks very clearly, we're all very familiar with it, that the Word of God is truth, amen? And it doesn't contain truth, it is absolutely true in every aspect, in every subject, in all that pertains to the redemption of mankind, of all that wisdom that's needed for social order. The wisdom of God that's been given to us through the Word of God that speaks of domestic responsibilities and the divine order that God has set forth, that we could live peaceably and that our prayers would not be hindered. The admonition from the Word of God to the children to make sure that they're obeying their parents, that they might live long upon the earth. Everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness has been given to us through the redemptive work of Jesus and through the revelation of His Word. Amen? It's all there. Everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness found right here for us to partake of every day to saturate ourselves and wash ourselves with the water of God's Word. It's a lamp unto our feet, amen, in a dark hour. We hide this Word in our heart, the Scripture says, that we would not sin against Him. We saw in our last session that this Word that as it comes to us, that we are a companion of all of them that keep this Word, those that are in love with the commandments of God. And so in this passage in 2 Timothy chapter 3, one that we're very familiar with, speaks to us about how vital it is for us to partake of the Word on a continual basis, so that we could understand the purpose of God in this hour. He tells us that the Word of God in verse 15, that from a child He admonished young Timothy, you've known the Holy Scriptures. This Word that makes you wise unto salvation. This great sword of the Spirit that Ephesians speaks of, the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, take it and pray, amen? You know, that admonition to us, if we're praying and believing God and praying and we're not seeing what we would like to see, then maybe we need to specifically go to the Word of God and just start praying what the Word has to say about that situation. Amen? So many of us pray our emotions, our desires, our will. We need to pray the Word of God. Recite God's promises back to Him. Amen? By doing so, that's what causes faith to rise in our hearts. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Once this Word has come into your spirit, as you're poring over the Word of God in prayer, and you're quiet, and you're listening to what the Holy Spirit says, and all of a sudden, this verse is quickened in your heart, and you declare it out of your mouth, it comes forth with creative power. It comes forth and ascends into the very heart and mind of God, and it will not return void, praise God. Isn't that the promise to us? How often we pray without having first gone to the Word to have something to pray. We come in to pray and we just start making noise. And we haven't spent time for this word to come into our spirit and break forth in life and power. As I've been before the Lord and just asking, Father, speak to us, Lord, concerning the situation that we find ourselves in as a people going into this last hour. A people that are going to be able to stand against the power of Antichrist. I think some of us here are remaining a little naive as to the power that we're going to be dealing with in these last days. If this time were not shortened, even the very elect would not stand. And we've dealt with, a few months ago, we did a whole teaching on that spirit of thinking of ourselves too highly and more highly than we ought to think. And we took a good look at Peter's life. And how Peter said, Lord, though everybody else forsakes you, you can count on me. I'll never forsake you. I think every one of us this morning needs to hear the words of Jesus because it pertains to every one of us. I want you to know something this morning. Satan desires to take you, your children, your marriage, your livelihood. And just as he told Peter, he wants to come in and sift you and shake you and torment you and accuse you, assault you, intimidate you. Do not think that we're going to enter these last days and walk through what's ahead for this nation and for the church unscathed. But I have prayed for you. Amen. Jesus said, here's what's ahead, but I've prayed for you. Praise God. He ever lives to make intercession for us. Amen. But we're too naive. We've got it so easy. We think things are just going to keep rolling like they are. And we're here and we're just wallowing around in wealth and ease and comfort. And many brethren in the world today are suffering persecution. Need I remind you this morning that throughout this world, many nations are still martyring Christians because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And we live here in America fat and sassy and think that we're some kind of spiritual giants because we can quote more scripture than most people. Beloved, this word does not profit you until it becomes alive in your spirit and comes forth out of your mouth with power. As we talked about on Wednesday, the prophet Jeremiah saying, your word is a fire in my bones. I've taken it in my mouth and I speak it forth and it's like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Praise God. Can I ask this question this morning of us? What are we breaking? What damage are we doing to the kingdom of hell? How are we shaking our community? Where are the people that are sick here in our midst? Where is the leaping and jumping and praising God? Where are the cancers that should be dying? Where are the blind eyes that should be being opened? The lame, the crippled, the halt, the maimed, that should be being made whole. If this word is first place in our lives, if you love me, Jesus said, you'll keep these commandments and they will not be grievous to you. If the Word of God is preeminent in this place, then why are you still bickering in your marriages? And fighting for your position and the right to be right and not humbling yourself and becoming the servant? Why is there strife here in our midst if God's Word is preeminent? Why are we still hanging out with our relatives who are saying they're Christians and living contrary to the Word of God, and 1 Corinthians 7 is so clear, and yet we make justification so that we can continue to disobey the Word of God and then wonder why our prayers aren't answered and people aren't healed? All of these acceptable sins, all of our choices, and yet every one of us would be horrified. Every one of us will stand up and defend the Word of God and say, you cannot add to and you cannot diminish from this Word. And yet we do it on a daily basis. By choosing our own will, by choosing our relatives, by choosing to prefer ourselves and be in strife, to be anything but Christ-like as we relate to confrontations. What am I saying? We're not what we think we are. We are not what we project ourselves to be. And because of that, we are powerless. We're seduced by this world and the cares of it. Everything in our heart feels like it wants to be used of God and used for God. And when we try to reach out and help others, we can't, because the cares of this world have us bound. They do so easily beset us. What is God saying to us that we know to do and we haven't chosen to do it yet? Added hours in prayer, added hours in the Word of God, pulling off weights and sins that do so easily beset us, freeing ourselves from the lust and the entertainment and care of this world. All of these things that we know to do, that we want to do, that we plan on doing someday, just haven't gotten around to it yet. Is the Word preeminent in this fellowship, in our lives? We need to step back again and ask ourselves, why are these signs not following those that believe in His name? We say we love the Word of God and we give it preeminence in our lives. Where is the gifts of the Spirit in operation? Where is the preeminence of the fruit of the Holy Ghost? You see, being a doer of the Word doesn't just talk about certain spectacular events. It's talking about a daily obedience in the mundane, everyday relationships in our homes. Amen? Amen. The things that we require of our children. Oh, our kids are better than the world's kids, but I tell you what, there's a lot of our households that are not walking according to the Word of God as it pertains to relationships in the home, husband, wife, parents, children. We're into three generations now in our fellowship. The need for children to dig their own wells. Children that are known by their doings, whether they be good or evil. The practical daily walk in the Spirit. You see, if we love Him, if we love Him, we will keep His commandments. Amen? And we're going to spend a little bit of time in 1 John in just a moment. But before we go over there, this 15th verse, you've known the Scriptures from a little child. These that are able to make you wise unto salvation through your faith, which is in Jesus Christ. All scripture, every verse. We talked about it the other day. One verse is sufficient. Amen. When God speaks to us and this word comes from these pages as the spiritual food that it is to the inner man. How precious is this word to you? We took one whole session and talked about that. Do you desire it more than your necessary food? You know, the Scripture talks about fasting. We want our food, don't we? Fasting is a purposeful act to abstain from natural things that lend itself to our life. In the case of food, the nutrition, the energy that we need. And fasting is taking that and setting it aside and saying, this is more important. I'm not going to eat today and benefit and profit from this. There's something more important that I hear from God, that I represent Him in power and authority. I'm going to abstain from the natural that I could come and benefit in the spiritual, in the supernatural. I'm going to take this 30 minutes and instead of eating, I'm going to grab a hold of the hem of His garment and I'm going to pray for those needs that are among us. And we're going to see healing and we're going to see deliverance and we're going to see souls added in the name of Jesus. Praise God. And that's more desirable than my necessary food. Do we approach our prayer time like that? Is the zeal for God being glorified here in our midst with signs and wonders more desirable than our own personal gain and the fact that on the job we just received, you know, a new title, we've got a new position, whatever accomplishments we may have in this natural life? Would we rather have the great influence of wealth and power than to have our name written in the heavens so that devils tremble when they hear your name as well as the name of Jesus? You see, these things that I'm talking about, this is not something that is extraordinary. We're talking about normative, biblical Christianity. Amen? We're different than the world. We're to hate the world. To be a friend of the world is to be at enmity with God. And it's amazing how in this hour and how we in this fellowship have taken what defines the world and we continue to condense it and make the world smaller and smaller in definition so that we can run in this outer perimeter and not think ourselves worldly. If we're not seekers of the kingdom of God first, we are worldly. But if we will seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all of these other things will be added to us in His discretion, in His sovereign purpose. Amen? And yet time and energy spent scrambling to try to make it in this world and make sure that we don't lack and make sure that people know who we are and let them see our successes. Enjoy the fruit of our labors. Oh, I know that God wants us to be blessed and prosper and wants to daily load us with benefits. That's not the message today. Well, you know, Pastor, the Bible says, oh, really? I didn't know that. This is God's word today to us. And we've got this idea of who we are spiritually. And my question is, where's the evidence? Oh, we've seen a miracle here or there, but the Bible says He healed them all. Amen? Well, surely He doesn't heal everybody. He healed them all. It should be the exception that our prayers are not evidenced the way we imagine them. Amen? Amen? Because if we abide in Him and His words abide in us, we can ask whatsoever we will that's in agreement with His will, and it'll be done unto us, praise God. You say, well, why that caveat if it's according to His will? Because it's not prayer if it doesn't come from the Word of God or the will of God. Amen? It's haughtiness to go into the presence of Almighty God and think we're going to direct Him. We come into His presence in humility and broken and needy before Him, and we bow before Him with His word, and He speaks to us encouragement, and His promises become alive in our heart, and then we declare it into the heavens, and principalities and powers scatter, and the heart of God is touched, and it returns with power, not void, as it returns to the earth, and His will is done, praise God. And His name is effectual. And the lame leap as a hart. And the deaf hear and the blind see. The haughty heart humbles itself and becomes a servant. And the person today that you're at strife with, and the reason that you're at strife is because you want to lord it over them. Strife comes because you're wanting to lord it over somebody and they're saying, you ain't lording it over me. You want to get rid of the strife? Just start serving and stop lording. Yeah, but if I do that, then they'll take advantage of me. If you are a servant, you cannot be taken advantage of. Amen? Slaves cannot be taken advantage of. Oh, you're not a servant to them. Don't think for a moment that when you humble yourself, you're serving that person. You're serving Jesus. Amen? God will take care of that other person. That's walking in faith. That's walking according to the Word of God. That's creating an environment where we can begin to see the power of God manifesting itself. He said, you need to know, young Timothy, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed, and it is profitable. All the Word is profitable. Amen? You can go in and start reading the begats, and you'll get blessed, praise God, if you're looking for the heart of God. Amen? If you're looking to hear from God. You can go into the Levitical laws and start reading all of those laws, and God can bless you because it's given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable. And the first thing it's profitable for is doctrine. In this hour of the spirit of Antichrist that we talked of on Wednesday night, that secret power of lawlessness, every man doing what's right in his own eyes. I was talking to my brother yesterday, and he was telling me how his wife, all of a sudden, she was raised Catholic, but she's all fired up now going to the Catholic Church again and learning to be an altar boy and or a server of communion or whatever, and all of these different things. And he's telling me all this. And of course, everything in my natural is just like, you know, and I'm just like, help me, Lord. And so I told him, I said, Den, I said, you remember that book I sent you the other day? And I said, you remember the chapters on the authenticity of Scripture and how reliable it is? And he acknowledged that, and I said, let me just share something with you. I said, there's many different religions in the world, and within professed Christendom, there's denominations, and this church believes that, and this church believes that. And I said, tragically, over these thousands of years, people have begun to put their trust in men's teachings of the Word of God instead of the Word of God. I said, let me remind you of this. The Bible says that this Word is alive and it's powerful. That's inspired of God and it's profitable for doctrine. Go to the Bible. Let God speak for Himself. It's so simple a child can hear and believe it. If he's got a heart that's hungering and seeking for God, God will reveal Himself to you in His Word. And don't look for men's teachings, but look to the simplicity of the Word of God. We know from Jesus' own teaching in the parable of the sower, when He talks about doctrine, the phrase, the usage of the word doctrine, He uses and shows us that it's synonymous with the Word of God. Amen? This doctrine that Jesus brought forth, He says, I'm going to show you sound doctrine. A sower went forth to sow seed. This seed was the Word of God. Amen? Doctrine, the Word. You see, you can have everything else going for you, but if you're still battling your spouse, your prayers are not going to be answered. create an environment here. You know, we've got all of the flesh and the lists that Galatians speaks of. And so we've got somebody over here bound on, in pornography, and we've got somebody over here fighting their wife, and we've got somebody back here coveting over and lusting for more gain, and we've got somebody over here that's bickering with somebody else in the body of Christ, and we got this, and we got this, and we got this, and we got this. We're looking at our lives and going, oh, I've only got one problem. Bring us together. And we filled the room up. Amen. I'd say let's get rid of it. Oh, there's always going to be things in our lives that we got to improve. And there's going to be sins that occur in our lives. Every man sins when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Amen. Sin does not overtake you. You overtake it. Oh, sin will come and attack us. Sin will come and make itself available to us. Sin can be on every corner, but you sin when you're drawn away of your own lust. We have got to begin to make decisions for the Word of God and against our emotions, against our lusts, against our own intellect, against our prejudices. Amen? And be doers of the Word. And if not, we're hearers and we're deceiving ourselves continually, and year after year we keep thinking we're so righteous and so holy, and I only have one thing wrong. But it's the same thing for the last 10 years. And if we don't love the truth as we saw in Thessalonians, then God will allow us to believe a lie. Let me say it again. If you don't love the truth, you'll end up believing a lie. You know what the Bible teaches. You know what God's saying to you. Well, if you sin when you're drawn away of your own lusts, then you're sanctified when you're drawn to righteousness. By that same decision, by that same volition. You choose to sin, you can just as easily, Romans 7 says, choose to be righteous. Amen? Because Romans 6 says sin no longer has dominion over us. We're living far below what's rightfully ours. Oh, thank God we've been out preaching the gospel this last year and witnessing in this job and on the streets more than ever. Thank God for that, and I don't minimize that. But do you understand there's a power available to us that we haven't even scratched the surface yet? I'm talking about you. Do you know that that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is abiding in you? And that these signs will follow them that believe? Did you know that devils should tremble at your sight? Do you know that when you walk into a certain environment of demonic oppression, demons should cry out and say, "Why have you come to torment me?" They're supposed to tremble, not you. Amen? All scripture is profitable for doctrine. And I'm off course. I want to get back to where I really wanted to go this morning. and for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be made perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This word, if it's being given its proper place, will produce good works. Amen? Has to. I won't go back to the parable of the sower right now, but you know that when this word, this seed, this word finds good ground, it will bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. Amen? So what would you say the condition of your heart is this morning? See, most of us here this morning think we've got good hearts. I've got a good heart. I'm desiring God. I'm desiring to be more like Jesus. I want to be holy. I want to be sanctified. I want to see signs and wonders. I want to see these people in our midst healed. I want to see this community saved and this community shaken by the kingdom of God and the power of God. That's my heart. Really? Where's the fruit? If that's our heart, then we would be saturating this heart with the Word of God, with the promises of God. And when I say promises, I'm talking about the promises of our sonship, the promises of the indwelling Holy Spirit, the promises that we'll lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover, the promises that the Word of God in our mouth will be like a fire and consume all of the iniquity before us, and people will be delivered and set free from their sin and added to the body of Christ. Amen? The power that people can look from without and look in here and say, behold how they love one another. Doers of the word. So there's two things required. One is we need to set aside time and saturate ourselves in prayerful fellowship with the Word of God. Amen? And then the next thing is do what He tells you when you're there. Get up from there and go serve somebody. Get up from there and go humble yourself and repent to the people that you're in conflict with. Get up from that time and let you be the man and not everybody else. Amen? That's sound doctrine. That's what the Bible will tell you if you're fellowshipping with Him. You see, if we go to prayer and God's talking to us about everybody else, you're not hearing the voice of God. If you're going to prayer and getting revelation for everybody else, you know what they need is this and what they need is that, and they should be. That is not the Holy Ghost. That is not the Word of God speaking to you. That is your pride, your self-righteousness, your independent spirit, and you need to stay on your face until you're broken, praise God. Because if you don't fall on this rock and become broken, it will come upon you and grind you to nothing, the scripture says. Isaiah 66 says, it's to this man that I will look, to he that's of a contrite heart, a humility, and that trembles at my word. Amen? Do we fear the word? There's many of us here this morning, beloved, if God would open your eyes, you would be just like the prophet of old. There is an angel standing before you with the word of God and ready to smite you. Thank God for His mercy and His grace. Amen? We should tremble at this word. When we see where we lack, We should lay everything else down and pursue this with all of our hearts, stretching forth for that prize, the high calling of God that's in Christ Jesus. That will not eat, will not sleep until I obtain the promise of God and know the presence of God. And know that I'm the man, woman that He wants me to be. So freely available to us. And so we see that all of this word is profitable for that doctrine. Sound doctrine, the doctrine that Jesus reveals to us in Mark 4, Matthew 13. Break up the fallow ground. An obedient heart, a true and honest heart that'll deal with the real issues and acknowledge what we are and then repent and ask God to come in and make us a new creation, whatever it costs. It's going to cost me my social status. It's going to cost me family members. It's going to cost me ease and comfort. If you don't love me more than these things, you're not worthy of me. Is that Bible? How wise is it to wait till the hour's upon us and then try to adjust? You don't wait until it's the week before the competition to start training. And so let's look over to 1 John for just a moment and look at a couple of passages here. John's Gospel, chapter 14, of course, we're familiar with the passages, but in 14:21, he says, if you keep my commandments, that's the indicator that you love me. And if you love me, you will be loved by the Father. So let's say it another way. If you are keeping the commandments, you're loved by the Father. Amen. We saw what he said in Isaiah 66. He said, I'll reveal myself to this type of a person, a humble person that trembles at my word. So if you keep my commandments, you're going to be loved by the Father. And if you're loved by the Father, then I will love you and I will manifest myself to you. These visitations that we need from God, God wants to manifest Himself to you. Now, many of us would like to hear an audible voice or have a vision or whatever. This is a more sure word of prophecy. Amen? There is no question that it's God when it's coming from these pages into your spirit. When this word is alive and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of your heart. When you get quiet before God, and that wrestling match begins. And he says, you know, you think you're this, but here's what you are. Okay, Lord, I hear what you're saying. I don't really see it, but I hear what you're saying, and I ask you to forgive me. Oh, I'm faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Repent. Amen? Change course. I'm not having that anymore. Amen, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And we start to get up and he says, I'm not done with you yet. How many times do you get up from prayer when God's not done with you? Sorry, I have a lust appointment. I've got to go shopping. I've got to get my hair done. I've got to go play golf. I've got to name it. God knows when you're just putting time in and when you're seeking His face. And you know it too. Don't get up until you've fellowshipped with Him. Until He's put His hand on you. Until your thigh is out of joint. Until you sweat drops of blood. Until you can say like Jesus did. I've let my heart be known, if it be possible, nevertheless. Amen. I don't have a will. And somebody told me the other day, you need a will. So I started to sit down and work on a will. And I started this way. The opening of my will. It seems very ironic to me that after 50 years of trying to have no will, I now state my will. That's how it started, my will. I don't want my will. My will always messes stuff up. I don't know my own heart, but to know that it is desperately wicked. And I don't know it. And we talked about the irony. The Bible says you don't know your own heart, and we'll fight to the death anybody that would tell us we don't know our own heart. And they think they know my. You think you know my heart? I'm the only one that knows my heart. You are the only one for sure that doesn't know your own heart. Amen? That's Bible. What I know is your flesh, just like me. And what I know is you might be second, but I'm the chief of sinners. I do know you're not as bad as I am. Help us, Lord. Only the fruit of our obedience or disobedience to the word reveals what we are. And if you'll keep my commandments, the Father will love you and we'll come and we'll fellowship with you, the scripture says. And he says, and I love this part of it, and I will manifest myself to you. The more you do the Word, the more real, the more present God becomes to you. The more aware you are of that voice. Now the 15th verse preceding this 21st verse is the verse that we're very familiar with. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments and they won't be grievous. We need to delight in the Word of God. We need to count it all joy when God sends His Word and tests us and tries us. Count it all joy when you fall into different temptations, tests, and trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Amen? Amen. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be made perfect, entire, lacking nothing, praise God. See, every revelation you get when you're in fellowship with God, it's going to be tried. If you stand up under the trial, faith is what's produced out of it. Faith that moves mountains. Faith that brings miracles about. And causes this list that we have to get smaller and smaller every day instead of longer and longer. Amen? If we desired the healing of those people on that list as much as we desired a raise at work, an easier life, earlier retirement, nicer home, nicer car, nicer threads. Oh, God, help us. Because where our treasure is where our heart is. Oh, we might go through all of the show and works, requirements, but until we're moved with compassion, we're not going to move mountains. And so he goes on into this first epistle in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. Now these are some powerful statements. John 15:10 says, if you keep my commandments, I know that you love me. Amen? First John 2:3 says, hereby do you know that you know him if you what? Well, hereby do you know that you don't know him if you don't keep his commandments. Simple enough? Well, I keep his commandments. I keep most of them. Did you know that as you sit here this morning, and most of us know what it is, there's that one thing in you that God's after and you're not coughing it up yet. Now, don't think with a shallow mind. I'm not talking about a behavior. I'm talking about the root of it. Because many of these lists and the behavior lists that we emphasize so often are not the issue. It's the heart's condition. It's the root. It's the pride that's behind it. The self-will. The that independent spirit. You're still of an independent spirit if you're doing 99% of what you know the Word of God is saying and retaining 1% to yourself. You're still Lord. And that's where we get ourselves in trouble often. For he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. For sin is transgression of the law. Once God comes to you and reveals the law and you know what it is that he's putting his hand on and you don't do it, you're not abiding in his love. And we're doing everything else. We're praying and we're studying. But beloved, obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen? What do you know to do that you're not doing this morning? And you might be surprised at what it is. I've talked about it before, and I don't want it to just end on these particular individuals, because we have many others that have the same root. It just hasn't come to that fruition yet. But we've talked about the tragedy of some of these marriages that are on the verge of breaking up here in our midst. And when they do break up, and people are going to go, oh, how tragic it is. They got a divorce. Like, divorce is like the worst thing that could happen. They got a divorce. Divorce isn't the sin. It's the pride. It's the hatred. It's that spirit of murder. It's that self-indulgence. And we see it in the world. All you do is you break up, you go marry somebody else, and guess what? You took the problem with you. Stay with the person you're with. At least they know how big a jerk you are. And it's a mirror. It shows you what you are. But it not only reveals what we are, it's the power of God to salvation. It's your deliverance, praise God. It's alive and powerful, and it discerns thoughts and intentions. It's the incorruptible seed of God that can enter in and make us Christ-like. Abide in me and my words in you. And so as we close for this morning, you know, we're talking about being doers of the word and not hearers only. And if we're not careful, we'll isolate on a few certain little areas. But as we introduced earlier, doers of the word, where is our hunger? Where is our commitment to? Where is our endeavoring to be used and lay ourselves out on the altar to see the gifts of the Spirit in operation? That compassion to lay our lives down for this community and the souls around us that are bound by sin and darkness and going to a devil's hell. And all we got to do is go out and preach the gospel, praise God. It's the power of God to salvation. Does the zeal for the word of God, the zeal for the house of God, burn in your bones, eat you up this morning? I heard somebody's stomach growling earlier. The zeal for that food. We'll end with this. Flat out truth is, what you want bad enough, you go get. Father, help us this morning to have respect unto this word, to give it its rightful place in each of our lives, independently and in this fellowship, corporately. You said if we would keep these commandments, we would abide in your love. And nothing shall separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. I want to be more for you. Why are devils not trembling? Why are the sick not being healed when I put my hands on them? Why does my ugly, nasty mouth shoot off every time somebody opposes me or things don't go my way? Where does this haughty spirit come from? Independent. I don't care what anybody says or thinks. I'm doing this. If you hear that in your inner man, let me share one thing with you. You are in jeopardy eternally. There's people here in our midst that have that kind of an attitude and think it's some kind of a quality instead of an abomination. Lord, if we love you, then where's the daily cross? Give us grace and give us strength that we would be doers of this word and not hearers only. And we'll give you the praise and all of the honor, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn to somebody next to you and say, keep his commandments. Praise God. Amen.